Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Just Interesting. Episode 121, I believe. Alex, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Robin. Yeah, we're just chilling out between chilling, these seasons. This is neither 6 nor 7. Or is it between five and six?
I think I can't remember. I can't remember anymore. Yeah, I think last season was 6. Yeah, so this is our not season finale, not season debut, just an in between episode. And as a result, it won't be a full episode, as you noticed already. One of us is absent. Sadly, crime doesn't pay. And Martin, hopefully, will be returning for our grand debut of season 7, whenever that does happen.
I wouldn't count on it though. Have you seen his lawyer, Robin? Seen his lawyer?
No, I haven't.
Didn't even know who Martin was.
That's not good.
He's the one. Well, I won't say the charges, but I mean you'll find out soon enough.
I think I might know who you mean actually. Yeah. With the hair.
With all the hair.
That guy. Yeah. Typical Martin. no taste. Anyway, so because Martin's not here, just the two of us, we won't be having a quiz, but we will have a riddle before we discuss the biggest broadcast interruptions in history. And by biggest, of course, we're applying some editorial hyperbole there. Some of the most significant ones we've chosen for you today. Stories, some of which are creepy, some of which are just interesting, all of which, hopefully, are educational. And before that, of course, before that, we will be discussing comments, your comments that you've made on previous videos, particularly on YouTube, because, of course, this is on YouTube, for all of you listening to us on a podcast platform of your choice. Podcast episodes are normally broadcast live every week on YouTube. So do feel free to pop over to YouTube on a Monday night at 9 p.m. BST or GMT, depending on the time of year, to join us in the live chat. But today, it's just Alex and me. But before we get into comments, Alex, I have a riddle for you and for everyone listening at home. Okay. Are you ready? You prepared? It's a simple one. Don't worry.
It's not an epic one.
It's not one of my Anglo-Saxon
ones. It's a simple one. Anyone from the 1500s could get this.
Alex, what is always in front of you but can't be seen?
The future.
Okay. Well, I mean, I shall reveal the answer at the end of the episode, if anyone's interested.
And it's definitely not the right answer.
Continue to guess if you like. Let us know. Comment below if you're on YouTube, or just keep it in your head if you listen to us on a podcast platform of your choice. And speaking of which,
lots of things are always in front of you but never seen.
Oh, you know, this is the beauty of these riddles, Alex. The simpler
they get, you're choosing the one that I don't like.
The more frustrating they get. Oh, dear. So, yeah, Alex, any comments from the last week or older than that you'd like to respond to?
I do have some comments, but before we jump into the comments, I did just want to say an extra special thank you to a few very special people, and that's our Patreon supporters, Robin.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So I'd like to give an extra special thank you so, so much to our Patreon supporters who have continued to support the channel, and in particular, I want to give a very special shout out to Ahmed, Caleb Wilkerson, Henny Ruffle, James, Janie, John Baker, Kurt Jones, Nicholas Dill, Rashad Najjar, Safu One, Still Not Bitten, The Super Show Podcast, A Filthy Casual, The One and Only Peaswad, Emmett Tapia, Josh Chomatek, Simon Workman, and of course our YouTube superstar, Captain Wonky.
Yeah.
Thank you, one and all, for all of your support. And if you did want to support us on Patreon, then feel free to. We record little mini extra episodes of A Little More Interesting. If you still can't get enough of us, you'll also get access to our Discord server, as well as... No, that's about it, actually, isn't it?
That's about it.
But
you can get credited totally just like those lovely people, those wonderful supporters, on an episode. And the best thing about the A Little More Interestings, Alex, as well as some behind-the-scenes tidbits that you occasionally get and special previews of our special videos, we often discuss things on A Little More Interesting that we don't discuss on the main podcast because YouTube won't let us.
Favorite sex positions and
exactly that kind of thing,
other things
sometimes with demonstrations if you're interested, so you know. no promises
now. That's false advertising.
That is actually that probably is litigious, but you know, let's not go there. Back to comments, and thank you for thanking our wonderful Patreon supporters and YouTube members. Alex, any comments from the past couple of weeks that you'd like to respond to?
I do have some comments, yeah, that I'd like to address. So first of all, I'd like to address Amy Licious's comment on last week's episode of the podcast. And at this point, we were discussing Hallmark Channel and some of their films. And the one that Martin brought up was A Gingerbread Romance. And she said, I've actually watched A Gingerbread Romance, so I'm interested to know, what did you think of it, Amy Licious? There was no review attached to this, so what do you think? Do you like it? But yeah, no, I mean, the Hallmark Channel in general, I think some of their movie titles are just incredible. And they have like a Mysteries Channel as well. So they have like, and they often theme them around baking or crosswords. Yeah. There's like a series, I think, called Crossword Mysteries, A Clue to Die For or something like that. Riddle me this, yeah. I
mean, when the titles are like that, it's kind of hard to resist watching them.
Oh, there was one where it was, I think it's called Riddle Me Dead, which I just think is, wow, that goes so hard.
It doesn't. And I like comic books, and comic books have some of the dumbest titles you could ever hope for, but that was special. That's very special.
They are good. I wanted to give a quick shout out to Palville, on last week's episode, who says, Alex's face when he reveals the theme of the quiz. Proud of himself. Good job, mate. Lots of love from Mendoza, Argentina. Thank you so much. I was very proud of myself for the
And rightly so. That was quiz. Well, it was an epic quiz. It was 20 questions and they were all connected, which is amazing.
I won't reveal the theme in case people haven't watched it, but I was quite proud of that one, yeah.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out. Last week's episode, which was about the weirdest medical treatments in history. And
it was a really good one. I really enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that too. Yeah. And hopefully everyone listening at home enjoyed it too. And in fact, Dan commented on that episode. My grandmother's old remedy for warts was to place a 50p under your pillow when you slept. Then it would be gone when you woke up. The 50p or the what? I like that.
Oh,
yeah. It's a joke. Nice.
Right. That's a good one. I was confused then for a second. I was wondering where the 50p went. But I still believe in the tooth fairy. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Do you really?
Oh, well, Alex, where else do you think the teeth go under your pillow, Robin? Where does the money come from?
I mean, I do actually have questions about that now. And we should grill Martin on this because he has children, so he presumably faces this problem at some point. I got to the stage and I moved past it. When I realized the tooth fairy probably wasn't real and it was my parents, I thought, whatever, eye roll, move on. And now I'm thinking, reflecting on it and thinking, what did they do with their teeth?
Probably threw them away, Robin. I'm not
But is that weird? I don't know. What would you do? I feel like that's weird. It's weird to keep them and it's weird to throw them away. It just feels weird. You know, it's like, what if you lost the tip of your finger in an accident? Would you keep it or throw it away?
Whereas the idea of a fairy coming in and just taking your teeth, that's perfectly normal. I'm sure the fairy has legitimate reasons for taking children's teeth.
Hey, I'm a firm believer in magical creatures that do home invasions on a regular basis. Santa and the tooth fairy.
The story of how I realized the tooth fairy wasn't real was actually kind of mildly traumatic.
Oh, no. Do
well, no, not really. It was just a funny way that my mom phrased that. So, so I was getting that at that age where I was a bit suspicious that the tooth fairy might not actually be.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah.
So I put my tooth under my pillow without telling my parents first.
Yeah.
And I woke up the next day and my tooth was still there. So I told my mom. I was like, "Mom, the tooth fairy didn't come. My tooth's still under my pillow." And she turned to me and she said, "Alex, I'm the tooth fairy." But like, why would you phrase it that way? Because initially I was like, we've done a terrible job.
Mind blown.
Whoa, now it all makes sense. No, I was like,
are you sure she actually isn't the tooth fairy? She wasn't failed. She wasn't being metaphorical. She was literally saying, "Alex, I'm the tooth fairy. And you are the offspring of the tooth fairy." Is that what you're telling me, Alex?
I mean, she never corrected it. So yeah, maybe. Maybe she technically didn't lie.
My gosh.
Whoa.
You heard it here first, folks. Scoop of the century. Tooth fairy's real and it's Alex's mom.
Well, great. Now I'm reliving that mild trauma.
Well, speaking of trauma, there must be some people who probably experienced the broadcast interruptions that we're about to discuss and still have trauma from some of them.
Mm.
And I think you know the ones I'm talking about. So in fact, listening at home, all of you lovely people probably recognize a couple of these because they're so infamous. They've permeated pop culture and the internet, and it's hard not to have heard of these particular incidents. But I'm looking forward to finding out which ones you have heard of. Please do tell us in the comments below on YouTube or on Twitter, if you listen to us on the podcast platform of your choice. Feel free to contact us on @JInterestingYT on Twitter and let us know which of the following you've heard of. So, Alex, are you ready to discuss the most incredible broadcast interruptions in history?
I'm very ready, Robin. Let's jump into it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Well then, Alex, where to begin? Where to begin? Mm. Do you want to handle this chronologically or shall we kind of... There's one famous one, I think. We could maybe begin with that.
I think that would be a good one to start with, wouldn't it? Let's talk about it, shall we? Yeah, let's address it right off the bat. It's the broadcast intrusion that everyone knows and loves. It's the Max Headroom incident.
Whoop.
So for those of you who may not be aware, the Max Headroom debuted in April 1985 on Channel 4 in a British-made cyberpunk TV movie, Max Headroom, 20 Minutes into the Future, his origin story. So he's a journalist fleeing enemies into a parking garage, crashing his motorcycle through the entrance barrier, reading Max Headroom, 2.3 meters. So that's the start of it. So what a weird start to this character.
Yeah.
But anyway.
A bit of comedy. Yeah.
A bit of comedy. But anyway, that is kind of irrelevant. So the Max Headroom incident was when a broadcast interruption happened with people dressed as Max Headroom. Mm-hmm. And this took place on November 22nd, 1987. During the 9 o'clock news, viewers across Chicago found their broadcast interrupted by a black screen, a wall of static sound, and the bizarre sight of someone dressed as this 80s fictional AI character, Max Headroom.
Hmm.
The hijack was stopped after a few seconds, and the incident left sports anchor Dan Roan bemused, saying, "Well, if you're wondering what's happened, so am I." However, less than 3 hours later, the hacker did it again during an episode of Doctor Who. However, this time, you could hear him speak. The hacker rambled on, making references to Headroom's endorsement of Coke, the series Clutch Cargo, and WGN anchor Chuck Swirsky, whom he called a frickin' liberal. And the camera feed then cut to show him exposing his buttocks, while an accomplice dressed as a French maid spanked him with a fly swatter. Imagine how confused you would be if that just popped up on your TV. You wouldn't know what to do.
And, you know, it's during Doctor Who, which is a family show.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and a very genteel, you know, British family show as well. So the people watching that in Chicago, I imagine, would not be prepared for some freaky Max Headroom guy in some kind of dimly lit garage to appear on their screen, expose his buttocks, and get whipped by a maid.
Yeah. And it's worth kind of thinking as well, I suppose, the Max Headroom mask back at this time, culturally, it was kind of the equivalent to, you know, like the V for Vendetta masks today. Yeah. It's kind of like an image of this kind of hacker culture at the time. It was kind of iconic with that crowd.
Yeah, symbolic of a movement and anti-authority. Yeah. Movement. Yeah.
What impressed me the most with this one, though, if you actually watch the video, is a lot of broadcast intrusions. They do it like, they don't go all out with it, you know. They do the hack, the broadcast intrusion. That's all handled very well. But then it's like they don't know what to say when they get there. They just kind of make up some stuff. Whereas the Max Headroom incident.
Yes.
I was impressed with their ingenuity and their set design. They had a maid outfit. They had this Max Headroom costume. And they'd also emulated the Max Headroom background, which for those of you it was lots of kind of neon lines on screen at different angles. And they'd kind of emulated this with corrugated iron, which I felt was very ingenious. Ingenious.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, they put a lot of planning and effort into this. And they succeeded as well. They managed to interrupt a TV broadcast to broadcast their own image on, as not all broadcast interruptions can do that. You know, they're much more limited sometimes, as we'll discover. So yeah, you're right. That was actually really impressive.
So yeah, I mean, it's worth saying that whilst this was just a prank, it's been over 3.5 decades. Nobody knows who hijacked this TV signal or why. And no culprits ever come forward. And if they were caught, the hackers could have been fined up to $100,000 and spent a year in prison. It's just like, it's a very impressive prank, because with the way that radio and TV was back in the day, you would have needed quite a good knowledge of electronics and some hefty equipment to pull this off. This wasn't just anything that anyone could have done. Interestingly, in 2013, there was a Reddit user named Bowie Pogue who claimed to know the people responsible, although they refused to name them in order to respect their privacy. So, yeah, that's how, I'm saying that, knowing that there's basically nothing to that story, because that's how little evidence there is. There's so little leads that you just have to go by a Reddit comment.
They could be making that up. Yeah.
They did claim, though, that they were 13 at the time of the hack, the people that did the Max Headroom incident, and they were trying to join a group of older hackers that had sprung up in this kind of 80s hacker culture that was going on at the time.
Oh, really? 13, 3?
Yeah, yeah. They were 13 years old, apparently, according to this person.
Yeah.
And he said that there were two brothers in the group who he referred to as J and K, who lived together 10 miles away from downtown Chicago. And it was them that carried out this hack.
J and K, JK, joking.
Well, there we go.
That sounds a bit sus.
There's no evidence that anything that this Reddit user claimed was true, but I think it just kind of exemplifies how little we know who did this. It's one of those things that's probably forever going to be a mystery unless anyone decides to come forward.
And I think at this point, no. And even if they did, it's been so long that people would doubt them. I don't know what proof you could provide, right, at this point, you know?
Bring out the corrugated iron and the Max Headroom mask. Maybe some behind the scenes footage you recorded on the time.
I suppose they must have had a camera in order to make the broadcast interruption, so they might have recorded it at the same time on the VHS.
Yeah.
And that would be the proof, if they had that foresight.
Very true.
I don't think we'll ever know.
No, I don't think so. And I think it's more fun that way, to be honest. And I think, honestly, the fact that it's a mystery is probably what's made this one so iconic as the de facto broadcast intrusion. When you think of this topic, you think of the Max Headroom incident. Mm. So credit where credit's due. You know, they did something memorable. And I think the fact that no one's ever come forward is kind of what makes it this ever-enduring mystery, you know.
Absolutely. I think it's also endured because it's clearly a prank. It's not, it's creepy. It's absolutely creepy. Sinister.
Yeah. No,
it's
totally.
It's kind of stupid rather than sinister. And I think that means it's fun to think about it and to look at it and contemplate. Other things, you know, are a bit serious and aren't so fun to look at. For example, the one that I'd like to discuss was also in the 80s, the golden era for this kind of thing. It's called the Solidarity Incident.
Mm, okay.
And this happened in Poland, in Eastern Europe, September 1985, in the city of Torun, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. And the evening broadcast of an episode of a series called Seven Come In, like a police procedural action drama, was interrupted by a written message superimposed on the episode. And the message was in Polish, but translated, it said, "Enough price increases, lies, and repressions. Solidarity to Rune. It is our duty to boycott the election." With a logo of Solidarity, which was a political party. So that immediately made this political act. Now, this happened again a week later, this time interrupting the news. So a political protest message on state-run TV broadcasts on the TV sets of 120,000 people living in the town of Turin.
Wow.
As I said, the TV in Poland at this time was run by the state because the state in 1985 was communist. It was part of the Soviet Union, part of the Eastern Bloc. And as the message implies, there was an election coming up, and the official opposition party was called the Solidarity Party, but only people approved by the government, which was communist, could appear on the ballot papers in an election.
Right,
so
okay.
There weren't any candidates from the Solidarity Party, which is the official opposition party, on the ballot paper.
I was wondering why the opposition party was calling to boycott the election.
Yes.
It's a bold strategy.
Yeah, it seems a bit like self-defeatist, but in this case...
That does make sense, yeah.
There was no alternative. And at this point in Polish elections, actually, they put British elections to shame. The government was used to a nearly 100% turnout in every previous election. So that's why this message was saying boycott the election, because the only way to protest if you can't vote for the opposition party is to not vote at all.
Yeah, fair enough, I guess.
Police were pretty clueless after the first broadcast, but they were prepared in case it happened again. So when the second broadcast happened, they were able to track down the people responsible. Now, they may have been tipped off because they turned up surprisingly quickly at the front door of the flat of a group of four astronomers from the University of Turin.
Okay.
And they were arrested straight away. And they found...
They just hit the play button and then the police barged through the doors.
Pretty much. It was pretty instantaneous. And they found that these four astronomers were using a ZS Spectrum home computer, a synchronizing circuit, and a transmitter to send their message and superimpose it over the TV broadcasts. Because they'd realized that all you had to do was use a computer to program your signal to synchronize exactly with the signal being transmitted by the state-run TV, because the technology was so kind of simple. And that's how they hacked it. The four men were charged with possession of an unlicensed radio transmitter and publication of materials that could cause public unrest, which, you know, sounds like the typical kind of communist regime thing to do.
Sure, yeah.
And unsurprisingly, they were found guilty. But at their sentencing, the judge noted that they were all prize-winning scientists and they were well-respected and had published quite a lot of papers that had been peer-reviewed and, in fact, won them prizes. So the judge decided to give them each probation and a fine of the equivalent of just under $100.
Oh, got away with that.
Nice. Basically, they got away with it, yeah.
Did the judge tell them that their work was out of this world?
I hope he did. I hope he did.
Did they say to the judge that they were over the moon?
Oh. Come on, rapid fire, Alex. Where's the next one?
No. You put too much pressure. I can't think.
Well, they aimed for the stars, and they didn't quite strike out. But hey, they did it, and they basically got away with it. And 4 years' time, 1989, was the next election. The opposition party Solidarity was allowed to have candidates on the ballot paper, and there was a pretty decisive result and led to the end of the communist regime in Poland.
Fair enough. Did you say that was 1989?
1989, yeah.
Shortly before the whole thing came crashing.
Exactly, yeah. It was in that part. It was one of the triggers for that wave of the collapse in the Soviet Union. But I like to think that this hack, because it became so notorious and was reported on in the West, obviously, as well as in Europe, and presumably across the rest of Poland, must have led to or been a contributing factor to the change by 1989 when the communist government said, all right, we'll actually allow some opposition candidates to be on the ballot paper.
Yeah.
The turnout normally was 100%, but in this election, after this hack, the turnout dropped to about 70%, 78%.
Wow. Okay, yeah, that is what I was wondering. That's an amazing effect. Wow.
Yeah. Huge.
I'm surprised as well, because in some countries, the turnout is like, 100%. But like in Australia, it's a legal requirement to vote.
Yeah, it's mandatory.
You get fined. So when you said it was 100%, I'm surprised they were allowed to not vote.
Yeah, it sounds a bit weird. Like they didn't.
Was even an option.
Yeah. Yeah. Given the nature of the regime, you'd expect it to be very much a kind of armed soldiers at your door. Have you voted yet? Yeah, come and vote.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But apparently it wasn't quite that bad. But, you know. So, yeah, that was the 1985 Solidarity incident.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Thank you.
Now let's go back to a stupid one, shall we?
Yay!
So I wanted to take you back a little bit earlier to 1977. Ooh. And this was the Southern Television broadcast hack. So at around 5 p.m., on November 26th, 1977, ITV viewers were disturbed when their regular scheduled programming was interrupted and replaced with a six-minute transmission from an alien, Robin.
What?
An alien called Vrillon. That's V-R-I-L-L-O-N.
I washed my clothes with that.
Vrillon gets rid of grime and lime.
yes, Vrillon. What did Vrillon say?
Well, okay, so the news broadcast glitched out and the sounds of presenter Andrew Gardner were silenced and replaced by a distorted voice delivering a pretty remarkable message for almost 6 minutes this went on for.
Oh my gosh. That
6 minutes doesn't sound like a huge amount of time, but I mean...
No, that would seem forever when you're in the moment.
That's like longer than adverts go on for.
Yeah.
If that was today, interrupting your TV show, you'd be absolutely... That would ruin your evening.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, I don't know if this would ruin your evening, though, because it was quite funny.
Okay. What did he say?
So it purported to be a communication from an individual calling themselves Vrilon, representing a body called the Ashtar Galactic Command.
Okay.
And the message was simple. We humans had to give up our warlike ways and embrace a more peaceful existence before it was too late.
Oh.
I said, for many years you have seen us as lights in the skies. We speak to you now in peace and wisdom, as we have done to your brothers and sisters all over this, your planet Earth. Be still now and listen, for your chance may not come again. All your weapons of evil must be removed. This was on ITV. Which is an interesting way that aliens from a galactic command would choose to get in touch. But hey,
there
you go.
I mean, I have to admit, that was kind of beautiful, Alex. That was poetic and absolutely wonderful sentiment, you know.
Vrilon of the Ashtar Galactic Command.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done, Vrilon. I mean, it was more important than whatever Andrew Gardner was talking about, I'm sure.
Are we sure it wasn't actually an alien? Because it sounds like the kind of thing an alien would say.
Well, this is the mystery, Robert, because we don't know who did this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is another mystery. Oh. So it could well be real contact from an extraterrestrial who just chose at this moment in time to silence presenter Andrew Gardner and deliver this message on ITV.
I mean, if I were Andrew Gardner, I would be flattered that aliens chose my program to interrupt, because presumably they were trying to transmit this for maximum effect, even if it was only on ITV, one of the three channels on British television.
Yeah, not everyone saw this. Yeah, it wasn't a primetime slot, I don't think. So, yeah.
But it was just ITV, so there must have been something about ITV's broadcast signal that would narrow down the suspects, right? If it were a human, presumably it was somebody who knew how ITV was transmitted and didn't know how, say, the BBC did this. So they were able to hack ITV, but not BBC.
That's very true. But I mean, there is actually a pretty significant lead to help narrow down the suspects. So there's a theory that someone in what's called the Raelian community could be responsible for the hack.
Are they also aliens?
Well, I mean, not quite. But this was a new this was a New Age religion founded in the 1970s by a man named, get this, Claude Vorillon. Not Vorillon.
Okay, yeah.
But Claude Vorillon.
That sounds a bit, yeah, okay.
And part of their beliefs was that humans were created by an extraterrestrial race.
A Scientologist,
So were they aliens? No, not really, but kind of a bit. So,
yes.
Yeah. So
they descended from aliens, are we aliens?
This one could have been Claude. Could have been Claude of the Raelians, but we don't really know. There was no evidence, to be honest.
Maybe.
I just thought that was an interesting one.
It's really interesting, yeah. And again, an unsolved mystery. And I wonder, maybe ITV doesn't stand for what I think it stands for. Maybe it stands for Intraterrestrial Vrilon. I don't know.
Quite possibly, yeah. And that's why Apple can't seem to sue them to claim the name. But it's also nice that it's nice that if someone is hacking into, you know, a TV network, that they're using it for a positive, to bring about positive change. And I suppose maybe that could be a good segue onto another one that I thought would be worth mentioning.
Oh yes, please.
Because we've had ones from 1970s, 1980s.
Yeah.
But there was one relatively recently. Not even relatively, just straight up recently, in 2022.
Oh gosh.
And this was the anonymous hack of Russia after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And on February 26, 2022, the hacker group Anonymous, as part of the cyber war that they declared on Russia, hacked several pro-Kremlin TV channels, Channel One Russia, Russia One, among some others, broadcasting a poem written by the Ukrainian singer Monatic about the Russo-Ukrainian war, using footage and Ukrainian music. And this also happened again on May 9th, 2022, during Russia's Victory Day parade in Moscow. Russian TV listings were hacked to display information on Putin's war crimes and to promote the truth about Russia's invasion of Ukraine using various messages.
Terrific. So the names, well, good job. Yeah.
Yeah. So the names of every TV station was changed to Blood is on your hands, and other phrases used in the TV listings included television and the government is lying and your hands are covered in blood from the deaths of thousands of Ukrainians and their children.
And somewhere in remote Siberia, a grumpy old man woke up and said, "Ah, my favorite program is on. Blood is on your hands."
Yes. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Sorry. Sorry.
And there was another one as well, really recently, yesterday, at the time of recording this.
No, seriously, that recent?
June 5th, 2023, yeah. Russian radio stations in regions bordering Ukraine were hacked, broadcasting a fake radio address claiming to be from Putin, declaring martial law and a nationwide military mobilization and for residents to evacuate deeper into Russia. And I suppose this could be part of the stories that we've seen recently about insurgents, I guess, attacking the Belgorod region.
Yes, some Russian factions who want to destabilize and overthrow the government, but in a violent way. Yeah, it makes sense that that's something they would do. Interesting. At first, when you said that, they interrupted radio signals. I thought, ooh, it's Ukraine sending out some kind of propaganda message. But actually, that was kind of sinister. That was to claim, to pretend that Putin has declared martial law. I guess, yeah.
Well, I think it is. It's definitely part of like the psychological warfare, isn't it? Because ultimately, I think part of the effort is to make the war come to Russia, if not in any kind of meaningful like invading way, but to change the perspectives of Russian citizens, to let them know that this isn't a special military operation. You are at war, you know?
Yes.
So if they can make them think that they have to now suddenly evacuate their homes, then that has going to have an effect on them. And they're going to possibly think, actually, maybe this sucks and we shouldn't be doing it.
That's a good point. Yeah. And it may also have some noble intent as well. If it's encouraging people to evacuate, it's presumably encouraging civilians to evacuate. Maybe they have a plan for some kind of attack, then they want to minimize civilian casualties?
Possibly, but I think this was still attributed to Anonymous.
Actually,
it doesn't say that. I think the one on February 26, 2022 is attributed to Anonymous.
Yeah.
And the others, I don't know if there's any information on where they come from yet.
Too soon
the
thing to is, say.
Well, this is it. Because everything's happening, so this is very modern and is still part of an active conflict.
Yeah.
I think we're not going to get a lot of information about this because obviously the people involved in this don't want other people to know how they did this or even, you know, where they did this from, where these attacks come from. Just like, I don't think the opposite side, I don't think Russia necessarily wants to explain how these hackers did this in case another group is able to do it again. Everyone involved in this probably wants to keep it a bit hush-hush.
Yes, that's true.
At least, so it might not be for a while that we find out information on this. But I do find it interesting that these broadcast intrusions are still happening in this day and age.
Still happening, yeah. And with an interesting purpose. They've gone from being pranks or messages of goodwill to tools of war, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know Kiel Rose in the Second World War, propaganda radio is a long-standing thing and dropping leaflets and flyers with propaganda on them. But that's not the hacking into a broadcast signal. That's just transmitting your radio station at the same time as other radio stations are on. So people have to stumble across it as they tune their radio. Whereas this, like interrupting people's usual listening to force a message on them, to force some kind of destabilizing propaganda. That's potent stuff.
It is indeed, yeah. Yeah.
It is indeed. Oh, well, thank you for that, Alex. That's incredible. Thanks for bringing those examples.
Thank you, Robin, as well. I didn't know about Solidarity. Solidarity hack. That was an interesting one, yeah.
Thanks, yeah. I thought it was interesting. And let us know, listening at home, watching us on YouTube, please leave a comment or give us a tweet at JInterestingYT. Which of those was your favorite, if that's the right word? Which one were you most interested in? Or do you think has the most scope for further investigation? Please do let us know. And speaking of letting you know, would you like the answer to the riddle?
Oh, yeah. What was it? It was whatever's in front of you but can never be seen.
I shall read it out again for the benefit of those who can't remember.
Yeah, rather than me paraphrasing. Sure.
You were close. You were very close. What is always in front of you but can't be seen? You had a guess.
I guess do you want the another future.
Guess? Yeah, do you want to make another guess?
Oh, can I have a clue?
No.
Like a narrowing it down. What is always in front of you but can never be seen? Goodness. I don't know.
I'll give you a clue. You don't need to make another guess because you got it with your first guess.
Phew. Okay.
It is the future. Well done. I mean,
yes.
I'm impressed. Genuinely, I don't think I would have got that. I think I would have heard that and thought, eh? Or something daft like that. And I wouldn't have thought of the future.
But air can be behind you, Robert.
Well, exactly. That's why it's wrong. But you thought of it. You're in the right headspace, mate.
Well, thank you for that riddle. That was that was a good one. And I'm surprised. I'm impressed and surprised that it wasn't like an Anglo-Saxon riddle that you went for this week.
Oh, you're welcome. I thought I almost did. But I thought I wouldn't instead torture the audience or yourself with that.
Nice. Also, I guess it's maybe worth saying to people, whilst we're in this kind of interim space between seasons, what do you want to see us discuss? Any particular ideas for topics? Let us know on the same Twitter link. JInterestingYT, or you can email us or message us personally, or just leave a comment on the YouTube. That would work.
That would work, yeah. Or write a review on the podcast platform that you listen to us on, if reviews are an option for you. Just let us know. Thank you again so much for listening to us, and a special thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and YouTube members who definitely keep this channel going and let us do exciting things like making little documentaries for your delectation and delight. And see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at Legends with a Z.com.